Well, hello and welcome. My name is Jeff Berthoff, and this is the Developer's Guide to Windows 10 Preview. As you may notice, I'm not Jerry or Andy, but I am here today to talk to you about the web and what we're doing in the browser, in the web platform for Windows 10. Some really exciting information. So let's go ahead and get started. All right. What we want to do is we want to start out and talk about the feedback that we got from developers. Through the last few versions of Windows, we've heard developers tell us that they want more interoperability between the browser Internet Explorer and other browsers that their users use. They want to be able to write code once that runs everywhere. The second thing is new features. They want us to continue to develop specs, new ones, and implement ones that are out there in other browsers as well. And then last but not least, they want less boundaries in between what happens on the browser itself and what happens when you're inside an application in Windows. So I'm very happy today to talk about how we have solutions for all of those in Windows 10. We're going to start out and talk about interoperability. So we'll start with a little bit of a history lesson. So all the way back in 1995, Internet Explorer first came out with the Trident rendering engine. The Trident rendering engine was a single engine that rendered the web pages. And not too long after that, we introduced HTML4. And so now we had two different rendering engines that we were working with. We had the strict rendering engine that rendered for HTML4. And then we also had the Quarks engine that would render the older content on the web. And we did this because we didn't want any web pages to not function properly in the browser. Well, as time went on with Internet Explorer, we started to add more and more different rendering engines. So we now not only had HTML4, but we have new doc types to work with that would help us make decisions between using Quarks mode and strict mode. When we got into Internet Explorer 7 and 8, we now had different rendering engines for each of those. So we had the IE7 compatibility mode, the IE8 standard mode, which was the newest way for the web to render. And of course, we always fell back to IE5 Quarks mode for those very old web pages that we still wanted to render properly. We can imagine how difficult this was for us when we had a JavaScript engine that had to be able to work with all of these different rendering engines. It was important that the web worked and that we didn't leave any of the web pages behind. So going on, that trend continued. We not only responded to doc types, but we also had compatibility tags that developers could add to their page to determine whether they wanted the page to render one way or another. Moving on to IE9, we now had an IE9 mode. When we got to IE10, we had a IE10 mode as well as the IE9 mode and added the Quarks mode emulation. So we had six different engines running together. Now in today's IE11, we have multiple rendering engines that help render the page depending on the type of doc type that you're using, or the meta tags that you have added to your page, or how the page itself is constructed. And this way, IE can render all the different pages the way that they were intended to be rendered by the developer. Well, as you can imagine, this creates a little bit of difficulty for the browser itself, because it has a lot of decisions to make. JavaScript has to be able to work in all of these different environments and work properly according to the proper rendering engine. Well, in the meantime, we've had Firefox and Chrome browsers and browsers like them who have gone a different route. And instead of having multiple rendering engines for different versions, they've had one rendering engine that's always up to date. And they continue to update that. Well, that's what we're doing now with Project Spartan. Project Spartan is the code name for the new browser that we'll be releasing with Windows 10. And Project Spartan has a single rendering engine that will always stay up to date. So instead of switching modes depending on the web, we now have one mode that has compatibility built into it. So it allows us to render every web page the same and always keep that rendering engine up to date. So the web has matured, development has changed, we can respond to that with Project Spartan. And Project Spartan itself can move quicker and work on compatibility issues on the within the engine itself. Now, compatibility is still a big issue for developers. What I have here in front of me is a screen from BrowserStack, and this shows you all of the different use cases that they provide for developers. You can come in and choose the different operating system and the many, many different browsers that you want to test in. And some developers may feel that this isn't necessary anymore, that you wouldn't need this many selections because of the Edge engine. And for example, Chromium, that will always stay up to date. Well, we actually know by looking at statistics that always up to date doesn't solve the problem for only testing once. So if we look at the Chromium usage, we actually see that because different vendors have forked Chromium at different points, we see a wide variety of Chromium builds out there being used by users today. So you as a developer can't just test the latest version of Chromium and assume that everyone is going to be up to date on that. You actually have to go and test all the way back to Chromium 18 and beyond to get the majority of your users. So that's why BrowserStack still offers all of those. So like with the problems we've had in Internet Explorer, being able to keep that to a single engine and having all of the different versions that a developer might need to test in, we see that problem across the web and other browsers as well. So Project Spartan helps us in more than one way. First of all, Spartan is the browser that Microsoft will be shipping as the default browser down its stack. So that's going to be everything from the phone up to a PC and tablet, and even the Xbox will have the same browser on it that runs and renders web pages the same way, independent of the device that you're using. So you as a developer, when you're testing inside of the Project Spartan browser, you know that the rendering that you see will be what is seen across the stack. So in Project Spartan, we have a new rendering engine that we're calling Microsoft Edge HTML. And this is an engine that will have compatibility and interoperability built into it, and it'll always be up to date. So whether you're using it on a tablet or a PC, or you're using it on a Windows phone device, you'll see that the browser is always using the newest version and will only have a single rendering engine that will help you and help users see the very best web that they can. See, our goal is to make sure that the web just works. Now, we still understand the need for backwards compatibility. So that's why in Windows 10, we will also ship a version of Internet Explorer 11 that handles the legacy compatibility engines. So everything from IE5 Quarks mode, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, just as we have today in Internet Explorer 11. But by default, when you're out on the web, you'll be using that same interoperable Edge engine that you're using inside of Project Spartan. So while you need this legacy browser, Internet Explorer will be there for you. And when you're just using the web as it's meant to be used today, then Spartan is the browser for you. So I said before, there's a huge range of devices that Windows 10 will run on. Project Spartan will be the browser that will ship as default on all of them. Having Spartan on all of these different devices makes it easy to test because you only have the one browser to concern yourself with that works across all the Windows devices. Now, we're taking interoperability into consideration with how you write for other browsers as well. So let's look at an example. So I have a Hawaiian Airlines site here. On Windows Phone 8.1, today, if you would look at this site, you would get the desktop version of the website. So what we've done is we've updated the user agent so that to the website, we look like a Chrome or a Firefox browser. And when we come in, we get pushed to the mobile site instead of the desktop site, which is a huge improvement for our users. Now, additionally, we're able to look at some of the issues that we have on that site. For example, in this case, the icons are missing. And we're able to remove the check for installable on the CrossOrigin fonts, which means the fonts themselves will show up and the icons will be seen on the web page just as the author of that site had intended. So by making some interoperable changes to Spartan that lets it render as other browsers do, then the users get to see the web the way it was intended by the developer. Our goal is that with Project Spartan, the web just works for the users. Whether it was written to standards or written to a particular use case of a browser, when you're using Spartan, we want the web to work for you. All right, the next thing that we have in Project Spartan is a lot of new features. So some of the high-level categories that we have for the features, we have some of the most requested CSS support, transform style preserve 3D being one of them, a lot of new JavaScript ECMA 6 support, storage and networking, DOM and graphics, including new WebGL APIs, media in RTC, such as the HLS video support, and input and editing even new improvements to touch events and the pointer lock API. And that's not all. We've also worked on a lot of other features that's going to make Spartan more standards compliant and work with more code that's out on the web today. So let's take a minute here and demo some of these new features. I want to just take a moment to pull a few of them up. So I found this first demo on GitHub that really illustrates the power of HTTP2 in a browser. So I'm going to go ahead and click through on that demo. And what we see here is a picture. I'm going to load it with different approaches. First, through HTTP2. It seems pretty fast. That's with no latency. Here it is with HTTP1. No latency. Still pretty fast, so let's add a little bit of latency to it. This next one is with HTTP2 at 30 milliseconds latency. Still pretty fast. And now HTTP1 with 30 milliseconds of latency with a noticeable delay to it. Let's go ahead and skip ahead to HTTP2 with 1 second latency. And we see we have the 1 second latency we experienced once and the rest of the image loads. Now let's do it with HTTP1 at 1 second latency. And because this image is broken down into many smaller images that have to follow the rule set for HTTP1, it's a significantly slower experience. And that's the type of power and improvement that we're gonna see on the web with HTTP2 that we'll see in Project Spartan. Okay, next thing I wanna talk about is CSP, the Content Security Policy. Now, what this allows you as a developer to do is to determine on your site what your security policy will be. So in this initial view, I'm going to show this page with a very restrictive policy. Now you can restrict your policy to limit things like inner HTML or limit things like inline script from the page or where your content can and can't be loaded from. So in this case, I'm saying I'm not going to allow any images located on a remote server. So my images aren't showing up. And you can imagine how powerful this will be to guard against things like cross-site scripting, where you want to be able to control where script is loaded and executed from. The section example allows local and external images, but I'm not allowing inline CSS. So I see the images, but none of the page renders. And now this is the optimized policy where my page allows for CSS inline and images from local and remote server. And you can see I have that same great looking page, but now it's locked down to the policy that's ideal for the code that I've written. So since I as a developer am writing the code for the page, I know what level of security I can apply to it. And that's something that's new in Project Spartan as well. It's giving you as the developer a lot more power and control over how your pages are rendered. And this is all from the content security policy. All right, let's move on. So we've talked already about how the web is going to work better. We've talked about how we're giving you a whole lot of new features with Project Spartan. The third thing we want to talk about today is reducing the boundaries between the web and web apps on Windows 10. So looking at the web apps spectrum, we start with websites. And these are your web apps that are discoverable inside the browser. It's what we've been looking at today when we're looking through Project Spartan. Now on Windows 10, we also have hosted web apps, which is something that's new to Windows with Windows 10. And this is where the majority of your app lives on the web server and is loaded when the user launches the app. So all of the content of the app points to your web server, but the app is still discovered from the store and ran locally by the user. And of course, we've had packaged web apps for some time in Windows 8 now. We have many improvements to that as well. And these are things like your store applications written in JavaScript, or even the Cordova applications that use the WebView. We have many improvements in that area as well. Let's talk a little bit about hosted web apps. So hosted web apps are new for us here in Windows 10, and we've seen a lot of interest from developers on this part. Now, what is a hosted web app? So first of all, in today's world, for a hosted web app, we start with a website. So the website is then packaged inside of a web view, and that web view is placed inside of a native app container. This way, we have the native app container that has the web view pointing to the website. When the application is launched, the website is rendered in the web view. And then, of course, you can pair this with native code. And as you do, you can add a bridge to be able to expose some of those native APIs or events to fire them from inside the WebView. And all of this is going to be distributed through an app store like iOS, Android, or the Windows Store. Now in Windows 10, we've got a new model for you. So we still have the app store to distribute the apps to the users. We still have the native app container, but we no longer need the web view. The native app container itself directly holds your website and points to your web server. Additionally, you won't need a bridge anymore to add native code or native functionality to your application. With hosted web apps in Windows 10, you'll be able to add Windows APIs directly into your web view. That means the code that's running on your web server will be able to call the Windows APIs just like your JavaScript store apps do today. You can also pair this with native code that can also be exposed to your website. So your native C++ or C# classes can be exposed into the DOM as a JavaScript method so that your JavaScript can call native and your native can return content to your JavaScript files. It's a very flexible model for our developers. So hosted web apps give you a lot of flexibility. You can bring your website to the store, the Windows Store, which allows it to be discovered by users. It allows it to flow along the other applications that the users have installed, allows the user to launch it locally. Any investment that you've made in your website, whether it be your workflow or the backend that you use to write that website, can all be kept the same because it's your web server that's appearing inside the application. In addition to what you can do in the browser, You also have access to the Windows APIs directly from your JavaScript code on the web server. So that means things like notifications and integration with the lock screen and all the new APIs that we have in Windows 10 are going to be available to you to call directly from your website. Okay, so in this example, we have a website that is a universal app. So our UAP app that runs on a Xbox, on a tablet or desktop, or on a mobile phone is a hosted application that works with the same code across all of those. So you take your responsive website, build it into a UAP, and then it can be ran on any of the platforms that we have for Windows. When you want to call a Windows feature, you can simply do a detection, a feature detection, to check to see if the Windows object exists. And if it does, you'll have access to all of those APIs. Let's do a quick demo of this. So what I want to do is I'm going to open up Visual Studio. And I'm going to open up a new project. All right, so I'm going to choose a blank application UAP in JavaScript. And this is new in the Windows 10 section under JavaScript. Okay, and this is pretty familiar. This is a typical packaged JavaScript application that you have here. I'm going to start out by opening up my AppX manifest, and I'm going to make a few minor changes. By default, this application is going to get a little bigger. By default, this application is going to point to the default HTML file that's inside of the web view. Now I'm going to take the MSN weather site and grab the URL here. And I'm going to make that my start page. Set in. Now I have to do one other thing. I'm going to add a rule inside of here that tells me what content is going to be included inside the application and what isn't. So in this case, I'm going to say anything that is inside of www.msn.com will be considered part of the application. Anything that's outside of it will be considered internet. So it'll open that up in the default browser. Now, before I launch this, I want to show you, just to make sure that we're clear that this content isn't coming from inside the package, I'm going to go ahead and delete the content that came by default here. So we're removing all the JavaScript, we're removing all the HTML and all the CSS, because we're not pointing to any content inside the package, we're pulling it all directly from the web server. Now, one thing to note, I am leaving my images folder there because we do have things like the splash screen that we need to be able to run. So now the MSN application that I have had in my browser is now a store application. And as you can see, it works just like any of the other applications that you download from the store. It has that same advantages. And of course, it also has access to those same APIs. So now you can leverage the work that you've already done on your website or in your web server as a Windows Store app. And you can do significantly more than you can in the browser because you now have access to all the Windows APIs. So with the hosted web app, the manifest allows you to add rules that tell you which domains can do what. First of all, we talked about which domains we want to allow inside the app. All other domains will be considered outside that app and open up in your browser. But we will also determine which of these URLs are going to have access to the Windows APIs. And you can have them access all the Windows APIs or a subset of them. This way, you can control the security of your application. And in the past, with our Windows JavaScript application, we've had a security policy that we've called Safe HTML. And you had to work within that security policy to be able to build an application. Well, just as we demoed the CSP policy for the browser, we're using that same policy set inside the application. So we're able to use the standard security policy just like your web applications are using out for the web. So you don't have to write your code differently to run inside a Windows application. So looking forward in the future as well, we see that the manifest for web app, the W3C standard, is very important to building hosted and installable web apps. So we want to allow you to be able to build a Windows hosted web app from the manifest for web apps based on the W3C spec. Right, so we also have packaged and hybrid web apps, which have a lot of new features inside of Windows 10. So the WebView control has a lot of enhancements to it that are going to make your application run smoother and give you more control as a developer. So in the past, we haven't had a full spec support for things like App Cache and IndexedDB. Well, in Windows 10, those features will all be present just as they are in the browser. We also have some new APIs for you as well. So if you're building those hybrid scenarios or scenarios with Apache Cordova, we'll allow you to have access to the data, be able to clear the data inside the WebView, and also a new feature that we call Add Web Allow Object, which will allow you to take native components and make them directly accessible from inside the WebView. So you don't no longer have to build a bridge to be able to let your web code call out to your native functions. Your native classes can be exposed directly into the WebView as JavaScript methods. So Cordova is an important part of the Windows 10 platform, and I'm really excited about a lot of the improvements that we have on that as well. So the WebView changes that we have are the backing for the Cordova experience on Windows 10. All of the enhancements that we got inside of Project Spartan, we get inside of the WebView and inside of the hosted application. The native JavaScript performance improvements, and the ability to support embedded Cordova, which means if you have a portion of your application that runs on Cordova and the rest of it is platform specific, we can now support those scenarios on Windows 10. So in summary, we're evolving the web platform. We've given you more interoperability so that the code that you've written, whether it be directed for a particular browser or standards base, is just going to work inside of Project Spartan. We've added significant amount of new features and supporting even more standards than we have in the past. And we have less boundaries in between the web and the applications on Windows, which means that you can get more out of the work that you're doing on the web by extending that into the Windows platform. Well, that's what we have for the web platform today. Thank you for your time, and I hope you enjoy Windows 10.